It was only a matter of time before race became an overt issue in this year's presidential elections. That time has finally come, and the fallout is already hitting the fan. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Barack Obama in July predicted that his rival would attempt to scare Americans.
Nobody really thinks that Bush or McCain have a real answer for the challenges we face. So what they're going to try to do is make you scared of me. You know, he's not patriotic enough. He's got a funny name. He doesn't look like all those other presidents on those dollar bills.
His words were apparently in response to John McCain's campaign ad that visually compared Obama to pop celebrities Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. In response to Obama's words, John McCain's campaign manager Rick Davis accused Obama of playing, quote, the race card from the bottom of the deck. He said it's divisive, negative, shameful, and wrong. McCain reiterated those statements.
His comments were clearly with the race card because of what he said. Everybody can read his remarks, and in fact, his campaign retracted those remarks. So I think it's very clear, and I was very disappointed. I was very disappointed at his comments. And so his campaign retracted those remarks, so let's move on.
Each camp is accusing the other of, quote, playing the race card. While mainstream media coverage is focusing on who played the race card first, the media watchdog group FAIR is accusing corporate media itself of botching the reporting on this issue. According to Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, playing to existing white racism has long been part of the Republican playbook, and the media has uncritically accepted McCain's spin. My guest is Jim Norikas. He is the editor of Extra, which is the publication of FAIR. Welcome to Uprising, Jim.
Hi, thanks for having me on again.
Thanks very much for joining us. So first, let's talk about even the term, playing the race card. I mean, this is a term that is, you know, often when I hear it, it usually comes out of the mouths of people who are making accusations that don't have much basis. And it's a way to turn it over on its head, particularly when you're talking to black and brown people. You're playing the race card. You're pulling your race. You're using it as a trump to somehow, you know, make your case, or et cetera. I mean, talk about the term itself and why it is something that may be inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is a slanted term. I mean, it implies that referring to racism is disingenuous and, in fact, part of a game. You know,
a card game.
Right. It's like you're playing, you know, Monopoly or something. I believe that the term came to public prominence during the O.J. Simpson trial, and I think it's sort of an allusion, kind of a unconscious allusion to that debate, you know, and it suggests that for someone to suggest that racism might be at work in a situation is akin to O.J. Simpson trying to be acquitted in a murder trial.
Now, I want to bring up the fact that when Barack Obama said that, you know, they're going to try to scare you in terms of putting, you know, imagining his face on a dollar bill, the whole dollar bill comment is interesting because the McCain campaign did jump on that, and yet it was the McCain campaign that put out an ad earlier that did do exactly that. It showed Barack Obama's face on a $100 bill. I want to play the sound from that ad, and if you find it on the internet, you can see the visuals itself. Let's take a listen to it.
As Barack Obama talks about change, let's take a look at what he's changed so far. He's changed the presidential seal. What will he change next? The Statue of Liberty? Mount Rushmore? The $100 bill? For Barack Obama, it's change you can make in Photoshop.
And if you actually take a look at that ad, you see Barack Obama's face superimposed on all sorts of things, including the Statue of Liberty and a $100 bill. Jim, the media, mainstream media, is really not bringing this up very much. I've only seen it mentioned on a few blogs.
Yeah, it is pretty ironic that, you know, that the Joe conclusion that that Obama made to not looking like the other presidents on the currency. When the McCain had used that same sort of joke against him in a web ad, and clearly the point of that ad is to say McCain Obama doesn't belong on the currency like someone like Ben Franklin does, and the larger point is that Obama's face is out of keeping with America's symbols. It's hard to imagine a more direct use of the line of argument that Obama is alluding to, and yet there was a sense among journalists that this is really kind of a low blow from Obama. That, you know, before McCain complained about it, ABC News first called attention to these comments and said that they were pretty inflammatory for Obama to bring this up. And ABC News Jake Tapper said, "There's a lot of racist, xenophobic crap out there, but not only has McCain not peddled any of it, he's condemned it."
And, of course, he had made no mention of McCain's own ad, which went earlier than Barack Obama's comments.
Yeah, and to look at the idea that that there's something incongruous about John McCain using race in a campaign is kind of, you're not looking very hard at the McCain campaign if you would be surprised that someone suggested they might be using race in their ads. The top advisor to the McCain campaign is Charles Black, a lobbyist who used to work for Jesse Helms and was the key strategist Jesse Helms' 1990 campaign that's famous for the White Hands ad, where very explicitly it's an ad with white hands crumpling up a job application.
So an anti-affirmative action ad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you needed that job, but they had to give it to a minority. It's hard to imagine a more direct appeal to racism than an ad like that.
So the Republican Party, you're saying, has basically had a track record of using racially charged advertising and statements and allusions to defeat candidates of color, and the mainstream media is not picking up on this.
Yeah, and not only the Republican Party, but the specific people that are associated with McCain. The person who did the White Hands ad is an advisor to McCain's advertising program. And the other ad that people are comparing the Paris Hilton ad to is the sometimes referred to as the Call Me ad. It's an ad against Harold Ford, who was running an African American politician who was running for the Senate. This ad had a white actress saying that she met Ford at the Playboy party, and then she winks at the camera and says, "Call me Harold." And it's I think pretty widely acknowledged, even in corporate media, that this is playing on white fears about race mixing. You know, the idea of a sexually provocative white woman in juxtaposed with a black politician. A black male politician pushes racial buttons for a lot of white people.
So your organization
and people have compared this ad to the Paris Hilton ad, and the person who made that ad was John McCain's campaign manager until he ran into financial troubles last summer and had to ditch a lot of his staff. But this guy went from doing that ad directly to working with John McCain.
So your organization is also essentially accusing the mainstream media of missing all of these links, of focusing on John McCain's accusations and essentially giving them credence rather than really digging beneath the surface to see the larger context of how McCain's own campaign has used white racism or has really played on it to attack Obama, something that really can be seen as playing from the bottom of the deck.
There's a sense in corporate media that it's much worse to accuse someone of racism
than to actually be racist.
Yeah, and therefore, you know, which goes along with the flippant phrase "playing the race card."
Right.
If you thought racism was a serious problem that suggestions of racism needed to be looked at carefully and seriously, you wouldn't use a phrase like "playing the race card." And you would be looking more carefully at the associations that John McCain has and what they have done in the past to use racism to win political campaigns.
There's also the whole way in which mainstream media outlets talk about issues becoming big by actually making issues big. I mean, tell us about the New York Times and them deciding to run this story of McCain's accusation on their front page.
I do think that was, obviously not every complaint that a candidate makes about another candidate ends up on the front page of the New York Times. But this one did, and I think it did do a lot to sort of validate this as an issue and help keep it, you know, it was sort of the main political issue of the week because the New York Times had seen fit to put it on the front page. And in the article, they said that the McCain camp statement effectively assured that race would once again be an unavoidable issue. Well, no, it wasn't the statement that assured that. It was the media's reaction to it that assured that. That's
a media reaction that includes putting it on the front page of one of the premier newspapers in the country.
Exactly.
So, you know, ultimately, Jim, this is, you know, the real issue is the fact that there is a major party candidate who is the presumptive nominee of this party who has a real shot at the White House, who is a person who looks completely different from previous presidents. And naturally, race is going to be an issue. But of course, it's never brought up in the way that those of us who are anti-racist or who would like to see a real end to racism in this country would like to see. I mean, they're brought up in these ways, which is, let's talk about the fact that we're talking about race, and let's get angry about the fact that we're even talking about race. And Barack Obama seems to play to that sometimes because he doesn't also want to talk about race. And one can sort of argue the strategic reasons for that, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly that's one of the ironies of this whole story is that clearly it is the McCain camp that is far more interested in talking about race than the Obama campaign. The Obama campaign does not see the racial debate as a winning issue for its campaign, and the McCain obviously does. You know, they sent all their surrogates out to talk on, you know, on the morning shows, mm-hmm. and the cable news shows,
yeah,
and because they wanted to keep this in the public eye. They thought that there's a sort of narrative of victimization, sort of painting Obama as someone who wants to be treated as a victim.
But it's really John McCain who's the victim being accused of racism, etc.
Yeah, the ironies run pretty deep.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you very much for joining us. And FAIR's website is?
It's FAIR.org.
FAIR.org. Jim Norikas is the editor of Extra, which is the publication of FAIR Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting at FAIR.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And for Sonali's subversive thought for the day, I'd like to quote Shirley Chisholm, whose voice we heard yesterday on Who Said That. She once said, "Racism is so universal in this country, so widespread and deep-seated that it is invisible because it is so normal." That's Shirley Chisholm, and that's Sonali's subversive thought for the day.